All right, Nanette gave Tasmanian stand-up comedian Hannah Gadsby a Peabody, an Emmy, stardom and star power. And her second Netflix comedy special, Douglas, lets her use that new power. She takes aim at the patriarchy, at anti-vaxxers and at critics who say that she killed comedy.
I had no plans to make it in America. If you're here because of Nanette, why? Had I known just how wildly popular trauma was going to be in the context of comedy, I might have budgeted my shit a bit better. But I went and put all my trauma eggs into one basket like a f***ing idiot, and now here we are. When I first started touring here, I was told I should Americanize my language. To which I responded, F*** off. I mean, I've made some concessions for you. I'm not a monster. Aluminum? Mm-hmm. Why would you say aluminium when you can flirt it? Aluminum. Stop it, America. And y'all? I'm taking y'all. I love y'all. Because y'all is the best, most inclusive, second person plural pronoun in the English speaking world.
So good.
The South.
So good. That's Hannah Gadsby, and after touring the world, including two shows in New Zealand, her new show Douglas premieres on Netflix from tomorrow night. It's a comedy special where purpose and punchlines come together, and Hannah Gadsby joins me now. Hello there.
Hello. How you doing?
Good to talk to you. 147 shows, 369 days, 40 cities, 12 countries. That Douglas tour got in just under the coronavirus wire, and I wonder after all that travel whether a bit of social isolation might be feeling pretty good for you.
Yeah, I just hope I'm not a super spreader. Like, I hope I
we haven't noticed anything here, Hannah, although I do know people who went to your show here and loved it, including one of my colleagues who told me that she saw Douglas in February, but she dreaded going because Nanette made her cry. But she loved Douglas. She said it was powerful and funny and raw. So what is the relationship between those two shows?
You know, I think Douglas is a kind of a, you know, an easier show in a sense. Like, Nanette was a lot, and I don't think it would be a wise career move or a wise human move to keep doing that level of trauma-laden shows. So Douglas is, in a way, is kind of a release. It's what can happen after, you know, catharsis or, you know, pushing through trauma. So it's a lot more fun on the surface of it.
That first show was such a hit that I wonder if people call you Nanette instead of Hannah. Does that ever happen?
Yeah, it's happened a few times. Or they just go, that Nanette lady. Or, you know, like, that's fine. I've been called much, much worse things.
Douglas, by the way, for people wondering, is your dog, and it's also a part of the female anatomy that they could learn about in the show. I wonder, did you have to embrace Nanette to create Douglas, this being the so-called difficult second album?
Yeah, look, I basically decided that it doesn't matter what I do, it's going to exist in the shadow of Nanette. So as soon as I just accepted that, the whole process became a lot easier.
And that show had its critics, mainly men, telling you that what you're doing is not comedy. You say, I did not get the memo about a comedy rule book. Did you... So what happened? Did you break comedy, or are you in fact an evil genius?
Column A, column B.
Yeah.
Look, I think the sort of kind of people that were angry at Nanette were the kind of people that would have said, you know, even if I'd have done a wall-to-wall funny show and it became successful, would have been angry about something. Like, I just think they're the kind of people who don't like women to you know, drive the cultural shifts. I think there was a very large part of the, you know, the angry response, you know, were people who are angry that they weren't consulted when I was elevated and, Louis C.K. was dethroned. Like, they were really furious that they weren't, you know, they weren't in control of that shift. And, you know, they'll be right. They'll live.
There's little Louis C.K., the new show, by the way, for people who want some. There's also art history. You studied art history, and I'm sure people told you more than once that you would never use it. But guess what? It's all over Douglas.
Yeah. I think, you know, of all the useless degrees, art history is really profoundly unuseful. But I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. Like, you know, I think being useful is overrated.
However, I mean, you could say that you can learn from art history, right? Art evolves, it has to evolve. And I wonder, does or did comedy need to evolve as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, very much it was my art history, you know, art history sort of bent that sort of made me want to shift gears in my comedy, because I just felt like it wasn't quite right for what I wanted to say and how I wanted to say things. So, you know, certainly the nerd in me sort of underwrote Nanette with that in mind.
And daring to be different and then getting criticised for it puts you in pretty good company, right? Caravaggio, Monet, Van Gogh. Would you be happy with those comparisons?
You know, a lot of them were violent men. But look, you know, I never had the luxury to dare to be different. I just was. All my life I've just been different. So it's less of a sort of a... It's more of a, you know, how I've had to be in life. So it's, I think really the remarkable thing was that it found an audience. That's for me the most remarkable thing about it all.
Yeah, and hate is going to hate, right? Can you introduce them to the concept of, or introduce us to the concept of hate baiting, which is a key part of Douglas?
Yeah, I like to, you know, after all the sort of complaints that I got about Nanette, I decided to sort of, you know, play with those. And I did, you know, like, I would do it in Douglas, but not as a proving point, but just to bait people who are just going to be upset by whatever I do anyway.
Is it fun?
Yeah. It's really how I get fun in life. The hate, like, I don't bait haters if I'm emotionally involved. You know, like, if I feel like I feel at all vulnerable, made vulnerable by what they say, then I don't engage them. But most of what was leveled at me is just silly, and I just actually genuinely don't understand why you'd complain about me complaining about violence toward women with violent words. It just doesn't make any sense.
And there's that criticism of your comedy that it's actually more like a lecture, so you give the haters an actual lecture in the show. It's really an art history student's or grad's dream come true, right? Some slides of Renaissance art, a laser pointer, and a captive audience.
Yep, pretty much. You know, I finally, like, made my university debt useful.
Yeah. And you joke that you didn't budget your trauma correctly. However, there is self-revelation in this show. You've been diagnosed with autism, and you say that it was like getting the keys to the city of me. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, I think just sort of understanding that what the way I process the world is different to the norm meant that I was able to understand myself. Like, I was always measuring my inadequacies and my failures against, you know, the wrong measure. So it really sort of unlocked pretty much, I think, the most important thing, a lot more sort of empathy for myself.
Is autism a comedy superpower when applied properly?
Look, I'd be careful to say that. I think having a different point of view, you know, can be both it's a different perspective and an experience in life. It can be both I don't know what the opposite of curse is. What's there's
a blessing? A curse or a blessing, maybe?
Curse. Thank you. I've worked so much in the negative in my life. I don't have access to the positive words. But a blessing and a curse, and there's so much about my life that has been incredibly difficult that I'd be reluctant to say it's a blessing or a superpower. And I don't think having autism should have to be a superpower. People on the spectrum shouldn't have to appear like they have superpowers to validate their existence. That's certainly a thing. But I think anyone sort of who exists in the margins tends to have a comedy, a little bit of a comedy edge, because, the key to comedy is being able to show people a different way of looking at something. And autism certainly provides that.
A different way of looking at something must be useful, or at least interesting, when you're rubbing shoulders with the rich and famous in Hollywood, does it?
Oh, there's my dog.
Oh, hey.
they're chatty. It is. It's come in handy for me because I find, things that are normal kind of disconcerting. So I've got experience in disconcerting environments. So, I find the supermarket as overwhelming as they do an Emmys party. And because I've got so much experience in being disorientated, I feel kind of comfortable being disorientated at an Emmys party.
Yeah.
I only went to one, by the way.
Is that where you met Jennifer Aniston?
Yes, that's the one. That was
right.
And John Stamos. Yeah, it's a great time. It's a good time.
Perfect. Was the autism diagnosis, did that play a part in choosing to take on the anti-vaxxers in Douglas?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think a lot of people sort of said, oh, your anti-vax stuff is kind of hack material, it's an easy target. But I think what people forget when they say that is just because I agree with how they view it, they think that it's the same point of view, but it's not. I have autism. So, for people on the spectrum, this argument is particularly galling because our identity is sidelined in it. It's like, you don't matter. You're either, worse than polio or a developmental disorder. And people with autism have actual identities and identities we feel kind of positive, we can and should be able to feel positive about. And this debate really is kind of inhumane the way it's conducted. We're sort of made to feel like, we're a tragedy in a biscuit.
There's a great line in the show about parents who refuse to vaccinate for fear that it causes autism, which it doesn't. You say, quote, "I would prefer to have autism than be a sociopath like you." And that's not just hate baiting, is it, Hannah? That really, it really makes you angry.
Yeah, it does. Okay. The selfishness of that point of view, and we're living it out as we speak, with people protesting against lockdown orders. There's a strong connection to the anti-vax movement, and it's sort of like, shut up. Your individual freedom is not as important as, as the whole. In certain areas, I think to have individual freedoms as we do in the West is an absolute privilege, and it's something you have to work at as part of a larger societal structure. You have a responsibility, and this is a moment to show that, whilst also, you can go online and say whatever you want. You have freedom of speech. But, people's stupidity puts other people's lives in danger, and I just get so angry that they put autism as an excuse to do that. Find another excuse.
I was speaking with comedian Hannah Gadsby, whose new show is called Douglas. And Hannah has said, Well, you've said previously that you snack on hate, that it's your vaccine. But I do wonder, are you prepared for the reaction from this special once it starts streaming on Netflix? Because that's a whole another level, as they say.
Well, you know, to a certain extent I was prepared. And then, you know, with this pandemic, I'm more than prepared with just the weapon of context. Do you know, like, there are bigger things to worry about. So if people want to, you know, get upset about a comedian saying something about vaccinations, then that's more of a reflection of who they are and what their priorities are. You know, there's a lot going on in the world.
And your mum and dad are still in Tasmania. They're talking about, by the way, direct flights from New Zealand to Tasmania. That'd be cool. I haven't done that since the 90s, I don't believe. But your dad sounds a bit like your archivist. He's doing albums of all your press clippings.
Yeah.
I suspect he might be about to get overwhelmed.
He was, you know, in the middle of the whole Nanette thing, he said to me, he complained, he said, oh, some of these articles, you know, they're 2 or 3 pages long. You know, I'm not made of toner. I got him an Office Works voucher. He said, yeah, you are.
Do you think the pandemic will affect comedy? Will it force it to evolve, live comedy?
I hope it does. You know, I think this is a chance where I think in all things we have to evolve because we're learning lessons fast and furiously. And if something doesn't evolve, then, you know, fat chance of survival.
You, I think it was a joke, you said that you were...
That's the story of my career.
you talked about, you know, you should have done a trilogy of trauma. But we have 2 shows now, so is there a 3rd coming?
I believe things, you know, should be in 3s. I believe in a triptych. My art history days taught me the power of 3. So, yeah, they'll you know, who knows what that'll look like. But I feel like I should name it after my other dog at the very least.
Hey, it's lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thanks for your time.
Hannah Gadsby. And her show, Douglas, premieres on Netflix on May 26th. It's a comedy special where purpose and punchlines come together. I've been speaking to Hannah Gadsby, who you may have seen when she was in New Zealand. Or you may have even seen her. She's done a couple of panel shows in New Zealand. She used to be a regular on 7 Days and other shows. So it's been pretty amazing to see her her star rise and the effect that Nanette in particular had around the world. So from tomorrow night, you'll be able to watch Douglas on Netflix.